Well, it could be live, that could be.
Live copy?
Live live, that's what I'm hearing.
Council, you have copies of the annual conference as well as the report that.
Yep, we have both.
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
First off, I want to say thank you to the council for the support that you provide to the advisory committee. And we certainly appreciate it very much. And the first thing I am going to talk about is our conference. And I heard the live and the live, and we get that all the time. People say, now which is it? And we say, well, whichever. This is our fourth annual conference, and last year we stressed transportation, still having people talk a lot about transportation. So Ken Bach is going to do a little presentation talking about last year and maybe some changes, but we are stressing housing. And Anas Ben-Adi, who is head of the Delaware State Housing, is a keynote speaker. And Trish Kelleher, who is head of the Delaware State Housing Coalition, is another speaker. But I think of real interest is our two panels. Our morning panel is going to discuss local housing options that are available in Sussex County for just about everybody, the disabled, veterans, multiculturals, and Sally Beaumont, who is our past chair, will be moderating that one. And the afternoon panel is stressing homeowners assistance that will enable homeowners who may be of low income or other reasons to be able to get help to stay in their home a lot longer and be independent. And that is going to be moderated by Karen Horton from the Delaware State Housing Authority. And of course, we will be taking questions and comments from the attendees. And I certainly invite all of you to join us on October the 19th at the Cheer Community Center on Sand Hill Road. Now, I'm going to move to the quality of life indicators that was related to Sussex County's growing senior population. This was and you all have a copy of the complete report. And on the 19th, Julia O'Hanlon, who was the Associate Policy Scientist, and Angela Klein, who's a Doctoral Public Administration Fellow, are from the Institute for Public Administration, the School of Public Policy and Administrative College of Arts and Sciences from the University of Delaware, came down and did a presentation to our committee about their findings and some proposals. I won't say proposals, but some thoughts that they wanted to convey to us to think about and maybe consider. And the information for that report, it came from a lot of different areas. It came from literature reviews where they'd gone back and looked at other reports. It came from informal interviews, and they did pollings at our last LIV conference in 2015 to try to get extra information. And one of the things that they learned was that Sussex County could have several community models, but they talk about the village, and they used as an example the Greater Lewis Village. They talk about NORC, which is Naturally Occurring Retirement Community. That's a housing development that starts out as just a development and then evolves into a senior. They did not have an example of that for Sussex County. Then they talked about the CCRC, which is Continuing Care Retirement Community, which is a combination of housing and different levels of health care. And the example they used for that was the Seaford Manor House. And there are others, I'm sure, and there's going to be an announcement about at our conference this year. And while we've not been told a lot about what it's going to be, I think it might be going to be that type. Then the last one they mentioned is co-housing. And that's where people decide to sort of move together and help one another out. And they put an example of Mid-Atlantic co-housing. And I'll be honest, I'm not familiar with it. I don't know if it's in Sussex or if it's elsewhere. Then they move to transportation and mobility, which is the big thing. And I think it is on the minds of almost everybody you talk to, even all of you here on the council, I'm sure. They talked about the current framework, which I know you're all very familiar with. They made some suggestions and asked to think about some alternative options, maybe possibly partnerships with taxis. Private companies such as Uber with new ways to serve seniors. Dart Flex Service, and I think that's already going on. And then funding providers like Easter Seals and Cheer to provide transportation service. And that is also happening. Programs like ITN Southern Delaware, and I'm sure you've all heard of that. It's just getting ready to expand into the Milford area, which I'm very happy. But we do have to consider that Sussex is a rural area when we're evaluating and looking at the different programs. And then building on last year's conference, they held focus groups this year in 2016. I'm not going to mention much about them because there's going to be another report coming out about the focus groups. And I will certainly make sure that all of you get a copy of that and know about it. And now, and the theme of the focus groups that many things that many seniors still drive. There's limited infrastructure. They talked about the traffic congestion. One person made the comment that Wednesday was now Thursday because everybody went out and did all what they had to do on Wednesdays because by Thursday everybody was going to head to the beach. Then there's little public.
It's been that way since 1960, I guarantee you. It has not changed.
No, that's true.
It has not changed. It's always been the same. You want to go to the beach, get out before 10 in the morning.
That's right.
Really, it's not changed.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm quite serious.
And then for some reason, where there is public transportation, there seems to be little usage. Now, you all may be familiar, but there is going to be a statewide mobility workshop on October the 18th. From 9 a.m. until 12:15 at the Dover Library. They talked about community-based resources, and that's where they mentioned the senior centers, home care agencies, nurses' aides. They mentioned our committee, home health aides, personal care attendants. And then they moved into coordination and planning. We need long-term planning for an age-friendly community. It needs infrastructure, social services, disaster preparedness, and workforce development. They kind of gave us a challenge. looking at the long-term planning among public and private and nonprofit organizations, becoming more strategic. Now, for example, building upon our already existing partnerships and creating new ones. And they said, this includes the county government, nonprofit organizations, the business sector, and of course, again, the advisory committee. And the next steps, which they would like to look toward, is to explore options for sharing with a wider audience than they have in the past, to provide as a resource for the county council, and to do future researches dependent upon the funding that they get. And this is, which I said, I saw some of you looking at it. Do you have any questions?
Yes.
They said, if you have questions, Julia and Angela, that they would be very happy to talk to any of you.
They'll answer the questions.
And answer them, yes.
That's pretty slick.
I'll try. They're the experts.
Well, you know, none of us are getting old, so.
Oh, I know.
But at someday, one of us might have to know who to contact about where all this is.
That's right.
You know, it's a big thing.
Yeah. Well, know. That's one of the things.
I mean, the knowledge, is it out there? Is
yeah.
It one principal contact would be so wonderful.
Right. That's one thing they mentioned. Somehow having a central agency or something developed
well-known.
To pull all of this together so you wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. It'd be wonderful.
Know exactly where to go.
Mm-hmm. 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 Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Well, you're certainly welcome.
I'll just say the polling results are very interesting on some of the statistics that we see. We see that we're highly educated.
Yes.
when I look at the vocational high school, you know, bachelor degrees and graduate degrees, which is excellent. Another good one is. People who are staying now, more people are staying in Sussex County for their medical needs.
That's true.
So,
and I think that will possibly be even more true
once the new Milford
Hospital is finished.
And we're a destination, and it was interesting, the state of Delaware and the county are the two driving forces, it seems, that are bringing people here. I don't know if we should be the driving forces.
Right.
I guess we're doing it with low taxes, and the state is doing things with some benefits and exemptions for people.
That's
but anyway, pretty interesting. I thought it was an eye opener, and where people come from, 73% from not from Delaware.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's an interesting fact.
I really appreciate
Thank
this
you.
Work. I can tell you, many people come here to retire, and they have certain income, and you know there's the government keeps printing money over and over over and over again, and they can't buy much. They can buy less and less and less with that money, and I see them going back to work.
That's right.
At stores like Walmart and whatnot.
Right.
I mean, it's not because they want to, I don't think.
No.
So this is really,
It's because they have to.
It's very important.
Because so many of them do have to choose between food, medicine, and shelter.
I've seen it. Believe me.
Joan retires next year. She's going to be greeter,
I'm worried about
greeter
myself.
At Walmart.
I'm worried about
you
myself.
Are.
I'm worried.
She's
I'm trying to get a job.
Too much.
Oh, you are.
moving right along.
I can't keep
on this side of the table.
Sam,
Mr. Arlette?
Real quick comment. Ruth, I just want to thank you for being here before you walk away. That's okay. She's walking away. That's okay. No, you're good. No, you had momentum. Keep going. No, it was all good. It's all, you're good. I will just talk as you were heading back. It's all good. More so of a comment. I will share with you, I think, first, it's such an important work. I know last year I went to one of your committee meetings for the very first time and to listen and learn to what you do. And you know, so many of the residents that are coming here are aging, and I think it is a challenge to learn how to serve those that are in great need. I know I had two parents that moved here, relocated here, who have since passed on. We've lived the experience and the challenges with all of that, the care, the transportation, the finances, because, you know, we're not taught, Mr. President, we're not taught how to do it, and even sometimes there's the other issues. You have older folks that don't want the help. Big issue, big challenge. Though they need the help, and I would tell you, I think it is the elders of our community that are forgotten. And I think we do have to place a focus on how to care for them in the short term as well as long term, despite their desire to be independent. My mom thought that she was totally independent, yet she was dependent on everybody for all things.
Well, this is true.
And it is a challenge. Right.
And we have to find ways to educate them and help them to be willing to accept what's out there, not thinking that it's because they are old and frail,
right.
But it's just something good for them.
Well, and I think beyond that, you know, there are great organizations and great services that exist out there, but I will share with you, I brought my mom to a couple doctor's appointments, and they reached out to me and says, you know, we've got real big issues here in Delaware because people are calling some of the state agencies, and they're not getting return calls as far as how to help and
thank
how to
you
help
for
the
that.
Elderly.
Thank you.
And,
that's true.
Anyways,
thank
I just
you.
Want to thank you for all you're doing, and I just appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. President.
I was speaking for
Mr.
my
Mr.
folks,
Deaver.
Too, who retired here, and they had some difficulties. Didn't have to go work at Walmart, but that money didn't go as far as they thought it would.
Well, we're trying to fix it. Okay, move on.
Anything else? Mrs. Bideman, certainly on behalf of the council, thank you and your committee for all you do. Thank you for taking the chairwomanship of it. And you're doing a great job. We appreciate
yes.
it. And we're sort of here to support you any way we can.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Lawson, administrator's report.
Okay. Thank you, Council. A couple items today, starting with the administrator's report for September 27th, 2016. Item number one, final reminder for property owners in Sussex County. Friday, September 30th, is the deadline to pay annual county property taxes. Payments can be made in person, online, by phone, or by mail. Any payments mailed must be postmarked no later than September 30th. Payments made October 1st or later will be subject to penalty. This year's tax bills once again feature an easier-to-read format to help taxpayers better understand their bills and payment options. A number of payment options are available for the public's convenience. A tutorial explaining how to view account information and to make payments is available on the county's website at sussexcountyde.gov. Pay-your-bill. Pay your bill. Sussex County accepts tax payments by cash, check, money order, and debit or credit cards. Item two, per the attached Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for July, there were 491 violent crime arrests with 338 clearances, 3,505 property crimes with 1,921 clearances, and 25,668 total traffic charges with 17,845 corresponding arrests. Of those traffic arrests, 643 were for DUI. Finally, there were 3,126 total vehicle crashes investigated. In total, there were 192 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of July. Item number three, Sussex County started hosting the first round of public workshops focused on the update to the county's comprehensive plan last night. The first meeting was held in Lewis. The focus of the workshops is to gather ideas, understand concerns, and take suggestions on how the county should develop over the next decade and beyond. Meetings are scheduled in each of the council's districts to give the public an opportunity to participate. There is a list here in the administrator's report of the upcoming meetings, including last night's meeting in Lewis. Tonight, there is a meeting from 4:30 to 7 p.m. in the Millsboro Town Hall. Thursday, there is a meeting at the Seaford Voluntary Fire Department. Next Tuesday, there's a meeting at the Georgetown Fire Company. And next Wednesday, there is a meeting at the Millville Voluntary Fire Company. All meetings are held from 4:30 to 7 p.m. They are open to the public, and citizens may attend any workshop they choose, regardless of district. In addition to the public workshop, citizens are encouraged to submit their comments, suggestions, and ideas for consideration via the internet or by mail. More information, including submittal forms, can be found at sussexplan.com. And item number four, it is with great sadness that we note the passing of Melody Booker Wilkins on Thursday, September 22nd. Melody had served as Economic Development Director for Sussex County since October 2014. We would like to express our condolences to the Booker Wilkins family. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President, I have two quick questions. May I have real quick?
Certainly.
Todd, just on the public safety, I don't even know, but maybe on these reports, is this including the towns or is it just unincorporated areas?
Steve.
That's DSP.
Steve.
If DSP goes into the towns, is that your question?
These stats.
This is simply state police.
It has nothing to do with the town police departments.
Yeah.
Okay. No, well, I ask that because if you see on page, whatever it is, the red area there for the Seaford area, mm-hmm. I guess that's the unincorporated area, I guess, as far as the drug hotspots.
It's the whole area, but there's nothing, there's no notifying you where that is. It's the whole area, not just unincorporated areas. But they don't go in there to make arrests necessarily.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
But the stats is reflective of the town's numbers as well. That's the question.
I don't know. We can ask the state police, but I don't believe they are.
No.
I believe this is simply state police activity.
Okay. And then the next question is, when is the next presentation from a trooper? Do we know? We talked about that, maybe quarterly. See how it goes, kind of as a trial for a first year. When is the next one scheduled?
We do not have one scheduled at this time.
Okay, so perhaps we can get one scheduled. When was the last time we had it? I can't remember. Back in
June? It was this summer.
So September would be 3 months. So, okay. Okay.
Is everybody all right with that?
Would you like another
I don't think
prison?
It's necessary, and I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed.
Doesn't bother me. I think it's fine. Anytime I can learn something, I'm fine.
Well, that's good, George.
It doesn't matter to me.
I will reach out to the state police and ask them to have one scheduled this final quarter.
Mm-hmm. State, County, Finance, and Revenue Committee update. It's under your report.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm jumping around here. Okay. There was information contained in your packet referencing a bill that passed last year that formed a committee called the State, County, Finance, and Revenue Committee. Within that, instructing the formation of that committee and the select individuals that would serve as members of this committee. I'll read from the bill language, recognizing that the state has assumed programs that were once funded by the counties. The General Assembly hereby establishes the State, County, Finance, and Revenue Committee. The committee shall suggest efficiencies, improvements, and cost savings to the state, including but not limited to the realty transfer tax, the register of wills, and the operations and training associated with the county paramedics program. The committee shall include the following membership, and listed there in the language is the membership. The membership does include the county administrators for Kent and Sussex County or their designees. I have been contacted by the Office of Budget and Management, and the meetings are set to begin next week, October the 5th. I do plan to attend on behalf of the county and representing Sussex County along with Ms. Jennings.
I'd like to say something. Just thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lawson. In plain words, could you tell me why they're doing this? I mean, I read it all. I read this, that, near the synopsis. And can you tell me in plain words what's going on? Maybe you don't.
No, I do. I believe the history. There's quite a bit of history. If you think back to the last few General Assemblies, as it relates to the state's attempt to balance their budget mm-hmm. each year, mm-hmm. And during that time frame, there has been discussions about the interplay between what right. the state pays and the county pays,
mm-hmm.
and some of the items that are listed here are sometimes the focus of the state's efforts mm-hmm. to balance their budget. Certainly, the realty transfer tax is on everyone's mind, and it usually does come up, whether it's in earnest or not. It does come up each year when the state legislators are attempting to balance their budget. So that's really the genesis of this effort. I am hopeful that getting these stakeholders in the room to have a discussion outside of the General Assembly activity may produce some thoughtful recommendations for the General Assembly to consider when they come back in session.
Good. I wanted to get your opinion of it. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Sounds like to me is trying to bounce the budget on our backs.
Mr. President, may I also just 30 seconds here? I think I brought it up last time. I think this was brought up. And again, the state has elected officials that are represented, but yet the counties do not. Other than, I guess, the executive from Newcastle County, who is an elected person. But the other two counties do not have an elected person that is reflective of the people that represent on this county. It's just appointees. So I would love perhaps our president or somebody to represent the people, not just somebody. I mean, why is it that the state has elected people, but yet the counties do not?
Well, the state passed this bill, and they were in charge of their own language, and they chose to include the membership as they deemed appropriate. I do know that, Mr. Vincent, would you like to...
Well, there are two people who are elected from the counties. One under the County Association of Counties will be the President, Terry Pepper, who serves on Levy Court. And the Delaware League of Local Governments is myself.
Oh, good. Good.
So that... Last week. Okay. Yeah. So that those are two... And you. So you will be going?
Yes. I'll be going and Terry Pepper will be going to Levy Court.
That makes me feel better. Thank you, Mr. President.
May I say something?
Mrs. Deaver.
I know that my term's almost over and I've learned a lot, but you know, I believe we have the power to manage land use, and I believe it power came from the state. Is that not true?
That's correct.
Thank you.
That is correct. All power seems to come from them.
It's enabled, if I understand
yes.
correctly.
Yes. It's enabled.
And it could be changed.
Yeah, well, it could certainly be.
That's
right. Correct. That's correct. That could make just one great big state, no counties at all.
Gotcha.
Mr. Lawson, your last item.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'm passing down a copy of the Sussex Conservation District application for standard plan approval residential construction. This is actually a copy of the instructions and form that is hosted by the Sussex Conservation District's website. Contained in your packet is information regarding the requests coming from the board. In the past, this form was sought and filled out on a voluntary basis. Recently, the board voted to make this application form mandatory and to charge $100 per form. The board has contacted Sussex County to seek the county's cooperation in requiring this application form be approved by the board prior to the county's issuance of a building permit. This coordination is similar to how the county handles agency verifications from other organizations, including DENREC, the Fire Marshal, and DelDOT. We're joined by Mr. David Baird of the Sussex Conservation District to further discuss the district's request today of the county. Mr. Baird, thank you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Lawson, and good morning, County Council. Before I get into to following up on the introduction that Mr. Lawson covered just a few minutes ago, a couple of items I'd like to address with the County Council to begin. First is just to say thank you for your current and ongoing support of the district and the programs that we offer. And I just want to give you a little bit of an update of things that are taking place at the district. As all of you are aware, you support the district in two ways through your annual budget process. And in FY17, the current budget you're operating in, $115,000 is provided as part of the tax ditch cost share program that's shared with the state. And then an additional $80,000 is provided to support drainage projects throughout the county for individual and cumulative landowners to address drainage issues on their properties. Why are these funds important? First of all, like I said, they are passed along to landowners here in the county and tax ditch associations to address any problems that are out there or to take care of any current or long-term maintenance deeds that they may have, especially this holds true on the tax ditches. On the tax ditch program, the law requires a minimum of $75,000 from both the county and the state. Over the last couple of years, the county council's going above and beyond that, recognizing the importance of the tax ditches and the roles they play throughout the county. I'm happy to report that the state's been matching your increased efforts over the last couple of years, which has been, you know, very helpful to the tax ditch managers around the county in addressing a lot of the maintenance needs. There's still more that needs to be done, but this has been a big help. And then finally, the impact on the district. And as we've discussed at our annual meeting over the last couple of years, the district does not receive any direct appropriations to support our operations from either the federal government, the state government, or from the county government.
Conservation district is what you're referring to, not
yes,
the
ma'am.
Entire district.
That is correct,
yes,
conservation
okay.
district.
Right.
You know, those revenues that come in to support our operations are generated through various contracts for services that we provide in our agricultural program and our equipment program, and then our stormwater program is covered by fees for services. And that's what Mr. Lawson was leading into with his introduction regarding the residential standard plans. As he had stated, currently these residential standard plan applications are completed by folks coming in for a building permit that they receive from the county. Those forms are available in the county building permit office, and it has been more of a voluntary basis in the past, and really currently is that way. The reason for these standard plans is that it provides permit coverage under the state sediment and stormwater regulations to those individual homeowners who are building on their property. It also provides a level of basic education on what the expectations and responsibilities are of the landowner and their contractor during construction. And then finally, it allows us to be aware at the district of projects going on, because we're asked on many cases to provide technical assistance or to provide additional guidance to that landowner or the contractor or even adjacent property owners who feel that there may be a concern or a potential problem that happens where we're out, like I said, meeting with that builder, contractor, landowner, or the neighbors regarding a potential situation. So that's the purpose of the standard plan today. What we have found is that the increased demands on the district staff, as you all are aware, we have two inspectors that cover the entire county. Based on your building permits, as you've seen increasing, we're feeling that as well. The level of service that's being requested from the district is increasing on a monthly basis. In addition to that, the new sediment and stormwater regulations, and I don't want to turn this into a conversation on those because they've been in turmoil over the last couple of months, has created an additional layer of requirements on the district as far as an implementation and an administration perspective that we are now required to provide that level of service in which in the past we were not. So, as I had stated, currently, it is not a requirement that someone has this application completed prior to receiving a building permit from Sussex County. What the request of the district is, and why I'm here in front of you today, is to request that the county make it a prerequisite that they have their standard plan application completed, approved by the district, and submitted along with their paperwork for a building permit on a residential property here with the county. There are a number of ways that the applicant can complete that. The forms will still be available upstairs. They can complete that, bring it out to our office. It'll be reviewed and usually approved within 24 hours. The district has also set up on our website the opportunity that the form can be completed online. They can pay for their permit. It will be reviewed. They can get an electronic email response back to them, of which they can bring in with their building permit application or any other paperwork that will suffice or that will meet that requirement as well. And as Mr. Lawson had stated, this is very similar to how you're currently handling things with DLDOT approvals from the State Fire Marshal's office, or from DENREC for septic permits or well permits of that nature. So, like I said, the request before the county is to assist the district in our implementation of the state sediment and stormwater regulations by requiring the district approval to be a prerequisite for a building permit. And with that said, I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Lots of questions.
Mrs. Deaver?
You said in the past we were not responsible for this, the management of stormwater and drainage. When was that? I heard you say you talked about what the district is responsible for now, and I thought I heard you say in the past we were not responsible for that.
The application that they're asked to complete right now.
Oh, you're talking about right now.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. So we're talking about not just an application, but I heard you say ordinances.
No, the county would not have to amend your ordinances, okay, from my understanding.
I heard that word.
Right. We're not asking the county staff to take on any more of a role than they're currently taking on. Their current practice is when they receive these applications, they'll hold those in a bundle and periodically send those down to the district office so we have those on file. All we're asking is that application be approved by the district in advance.
Correct.
That would be a big improvement, would it not?
It would certainly help us in the administration of our requirements as a delegated agency.
May I ask, is the Sussex County Conservation District, and I'm assuming you don't interact with the other counties in particular? Or?
No, we do.
Well, they seem to have drainage codes and whatnot. I mean, we're the only one county that doesn't have that.
Correct.
Is that what's costing so much money for the conservation district? Because you all are taking that up? You know, I personally want us to have the drainage code. No secret. And, you know, people expect it.
Correct.
When they come here from other places.
Right.
And they're not used to, you tell them, get a hold of the conservation district. They don't know, you know, they're not familiar with the terms.
Right.
And the other counties don't operate that way, if I understand correctly.
And that's why there's a distinction between each of the three counties.
Yes, there is.
And the conversation is taking place here in Sussex County. If you'll recall, at our annual meeting, I believe it was 2 years ago, we requested that the county participate in discussions on drainage and other issues around the county. And this body agreed to participate in that. We have had some success come out of those conversations. Where this body is on those, I think is to be determined. But I would anticipate that in the relatively near future, probably within the next 6 months to a year, there will be some recommendations coming forward from these discussions to county council. And then it'll be up to you all to debate how you want to proceed at that point.
To take the responsibility for a, in other words, a drainage code. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
You want to do it or not?
I can't say that it would be a drainage code.
Oh, all right.
However, I think there are probably some simple recommendations and some low-hanging fruit that may be more palatable to consider if the county council wants to proceed in this.
Well, you know, the way
we're not at that stage just yet. I would let the work group continue its work to the point where they're comfortable with recommendations.
I didn't know that group was still working. I heard, I did get an email the other day that from our chief engineer that they are still working. I'm just thrilled. I'm so happy to hear that.
Right.
But I did not know that. And so I'm very, very pleased about it. And are you saying that eventually the county just may or may not take that responsibility and it's kind of up in the air now?
I think it's going to be up to the five of you during a public discussion.
Mm-hmm. And then somehow you referred to the meeting that Mr. Lawson had talked about, that this might come up at that meeting, these costs and whatnot might come. Is that, I heard you say, you referred
I don't believe I was referencing any sort of meeting that Mr. Lawson had brought up. But I
with
would
the finance.
In the relatively near future, in the next
I'm
6 to 12 months,
recommendations will
something.
Have costs associated with them. We won't know till we get the recommendations.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that won't be
those
involved.
Those haven't been finalized yet.
So you didn't say that would have anything to do with the meeting Mr. Lawson had talked about? Okay,
no,
well, I'll just be hearing things. Okay, I'm just trying to, I didn't want to interrupt your, your talk.
No, you're fine.
And I was taking notes, and so it is possible, maybe during my lifetime, that the county will have or take responsibility for drainage. I mean, personally, I'm getting terrible reports from people who live in areas that are soaking wet. They're trying to find out, what can I plant in this moat by my house? It's bad. The plans are not working.
I think we need to move along on this subject.
Well,
I appreciate Mrs. Deaver.
It's my job. I'm a councilwoman.
I'm not disputing that.
Come up with
but that, what's on our agenda is this one specific item that he's talking about.
Well, I'm not arguing with that. That's great. Any improvement would be great.
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying.
Excuse me. You should, Joan, you should tell her plant water lilies.
Okay. Any more questions of council?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Baird. You're welcome.
George, you're good.
Mr. Cole, you have any questions?
I've heard enough.
just real quick, if I may, and that is currently this is optional. You were mentioning that this form to be filled out by the applicant is an optional.
Correct. It's a requirement now. However, there's not a lot of enforcement associated with that. It's been somewhat of a loosely administered program.
Okay.
And partly because it has not been a prerequisite. Most people, you know, the county staff does an excellent job of trying to get most people to complete that and have it accompanied, but there are still a number that do not complete that.
And then the form that you're looking to make mandatory, and I guess it looks like the board did vote for that to happen.
Correct. And that's the same form that's in place today.
Right. But mandatory, not optional.
Correct.
And the difference here is that there's going to be a charge. Is that correct?
Correct. Right.
So how many of these forms are there on an annual basis?
We anticipate, and our projections are about 800 annually.
800.
Yes.
So therefore, we are looking at, what is that, $80,000?
Correct.
In a new source of revenue? That is not here, that's not there today.
That is correct.
Okay. So with that being said, that's a pretty significant number.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, does it make sense or if even if it's a requirement for us to even have a public forum on this?
Right.
And did you guys have a public forum?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
That fee was adopted by the board. Any fee schedules associated with the sediment and stormwater program are required to be public noticed, brought up at a district board meeting, which is a public meeting. We did advertise that in the State News and the News Journal, and we received no comments back from that. Where we are at this stage was that the board adopted the fee at its last meeting, and now we're in the process of reaching out to everybody, letting them know that this fee is now in place, and working on cooperative agreements on how we can make this happen. So our first stop is the county, because that's the largest volume that's out there. We'll have to meet with each of the individual towns as well, because they issue their own permits.
Really?
And then we'll also have to reach out to builders, contractors, folks who are applying for building permits. And I'm sure we'll be able to have, you know, some assistance from your folks at the building permit office, just letting them know that this is now a requirement and helping us get the word out.
So I'm still a little confused. I mean, your board has already agreed to do this, to do the form, make it a mandatory, and then charge $100. And you're looking for our cooperation.
Cooperation.
What does that mean?
Cooperation.
I'm not sure what I mean. What does that mean?
In making it a prerequisite prior to receiving a county building permit.
So we are going to be administering the $100 collection and then paying you?
No, you will not.
Okay.
There'll be no financial transaction with the county as a part of this. The applicant will have that, make that transaction directly with the district. They can either do so at the district office, or that transaction can be completed online.
So we have to vote on this, and then this is a requirement of the council to vote on this in order to make this happen?
I'm still
confused
on that.
Yes, so basically you're looking at the fee, the form is filled out with you online. The fee goes to you, and you're basically asking that before a county building permit is issued, that there be some kind of indication from your office to the county indicating that your requirement has been complied with.
Correct. And what that would be the carbon copy that you see in front of you on that form or a printed receipt that they had completed online.
Okay, I'm trying to help. I'm learning.
Beaver.
So you'll actually have more information, and you can do a better job, I believe.
Yes,
you don't have this now. Yes, go ahead. That's. I think that's great. You think it will help the conservation district in having this form filled out? And the, okay.
Correct.
And do you ever collect
And not mm-hmm. only will it assist us, but it'll also help that landowner in knowing that they have permit coverage in place.
Because I know some of them don't know that they have to clean out these drainage
It's as similar as to what we've been doing. We have state agencies that we require before we issue permits that they've got their permits from these other state agencies before we do things. Asking us to make sure this put this on our list.
I was still
to make
talking.
Sure they have that to.
I was
to do.
Still talking. Yes, I know sir. You're my oh, bro- you you're were. My brother, but I was I still talking. My next question was: Do you collect money in any other way like this? These funds, you'll collect these funds. Do you collect funds from other sources, and you're responsible for them? And
yes, we do. There's a whole series of mm-hmm. fees associated with our sediment and stormwater program,
and that goes to your budget.
Correct.
To your,
okay. That supports the operations of the district
All right.
sediment and stormwater program.
All right. So what we have is more paperwork, but the customer is still footing the bill.
Yes, ma'am. You're correct.
You know.
And ultimately, at the end of the day, that's where it's going to lie, whether it's with them as a user fee or whether it comes from some sort of tax dollar or whatever. So
it should be borne by the user.
Well, there you go. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Any more questions of council? Hearing none. What's the pleasure, council?
Is there a motion that we have to do?
No
or
motion
do we
yet, but nothing.
I have a motion. If you'd like me to read a motion,
yes.
That would
be
sure. Move. Be it moved, the Sussex County Council agrees to coordinate with the Sussex Conservation District and require the Conservation District's application for standard plan approval, residential construction, as a prerequisite to the issuance of a Sussex County building permit.
I'll make that motion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I have motion. A question. When
hold on. Motion, Mr. Cole, do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Second, Mrs. Deaver. Questions?
Okay.
Yes.
Builder or developer or home, who fills this out? I mean, how's the individual homeowner going to know if he's buying a house in a great big subdivision? You know what I'm about cleaning out the ditches and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
It can be the builder, it can be the homeowner. However, the homeowner will need to sign off on the application. So the landowner at that time.
Oh, the landowner.
Correct.
The entire parcel that's being developed is what you're saying?
Right,
I want
case,
the homeowner
the individual to lot.
This is an individual lot, not a subdivision. This is not a developer. This is just one
okay, this would never
lot.
This would never be
one
used
individual lot.
Would never be used for an entire subdivision.
No, they got other applications.
Good. This is great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. The council?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
I go back to my original question. I'm still very confused on what is it that the motion I heard it. I understand that. But we are voting, or we have been asked to vote. Well, we actually have a motion. It's been seconded. So therefore, we will be voting on this. I don't know what I'm voting for. In other words, if I say yes, I am agreeing to what your board has already agreed to do. And I am therefore agreeing as a council member to this process and making it a requirement of all applicants. That was the motion, a requirement. Is that correct, Todd?
That is correct.
So if I vote no, how does that play out in reference to your implementation to this?
Well, there still runs the risk of folks receiving building permits, proceeding with construction, not having a sediment and stormwater approval under the state sediment and stormwater regulations.
That's our big problem.
I'm not disputing any of that, but I can tell you, I'm not comfortable with voting on something that's going to, quote-unquote, generate $80,000 from our residents of this county without a public presentation here. before this council. I mean, I'm voting on something, and I haven't heard from the public on this, personally.
Well, it's already adopted. I mean, the regulation.
So therefore, why are we voting on this?
Just the coordinate, so that when somebody comes in and gets a building permit, there's a number of agencies they need to go to, and we're just trying to be inform that person that you needed to get all this before we can give you the permit, because it's required by law. Now, if we don't do this, they can come in. That may be not on the list. They may not be aware of it. They may get, I don't know if there's a violation. They may hold their project up. I mean, we're just at our counter where we're trying to do this one-stop shopping. When people come here, they're told you need this and this before we can issue a permit. And that's basically all we're doing. We're saying, okay, stop at our counter. This will be on our list, right? Is that correct? Because we didn't pass this regulation. It's a state regulation, which is adopted. So we don't have anything to do with the fee. We don't have anything to do with the fee. But they'll still have to do it, Rob, if we don't require, you know, if we don't notify the people at the counter here, they still have to do it, right? Am I wrong?
Hold on.
Am I wrong?
Go ahead.
Right?
Mr. Cole, your description is correct.
Who, me?
When you made a comment, you said one-stop shopping. There's no such thing as one-stop shopping. You got to go from here. You got to go from here to the highway department. You got to go from here to natural resources, and you'll finally end up going here to soil conservation.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
not one-stop
shopping. Okay. I described it wrong. Anyway, we have a list of agencies people have to go to, and it helps the consumer. It helps the person who's building their lot. So this is just part of us notifying them. This is part of what's needed nowadays to be able to do a lot. Like I said, it's not our fee. It's not our regulation. We're just putting it at our counter to help the consumer.
Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Cole, and I'm not disputing what you just said. However,
okay.
However,
give me a however.
Very big difference, because as it relates to your analogy of Del Dot and other agencies, they're not coming here for our approval for their fees.
Neither are they.
We were just asked to make this be a mandatory part of the process. That's what this motion is.
No, to coordinate it.
Go back and can you reread it then, Mr. Vossen, please?
Sussex County Council agrees to coordinate with the Sussex Conservation District and require the form as a prerequisite to the issuance of a Sussex County building permit.
Del Dot, we require a fire marshal, but we don't set their fees either.
No, we don't set anybody's fees.
I'm just saying, but this motion is to require this form, i.e. require $100 per fee, per application. And I'm just saying, I'm not disputing it. However, why are we not going to have a public comment on this?
They've already had it, and nobody commented.
But we are asking to vote on this, George. That's my point.
And not to establish any fees.
I'm not sure where I'm confused on this one, but I have to tell you, if it's not required, then why are we here voting on a motion?
We don't
to make it required.
Okay.
Requirement.
the request, as I understand it from the district, is
required.
This. Right now, we ask an applicant to come in, fill out a form, and there's no requirement associated with that. Their agency has now passed through their authority the requirement along with the fee. So we've gone from voluntary to mandatory under their authority. They're just asking for the coordination between us, the issuance of the building permit, because that is the last step before action out there in the building world can take place. It's just the coordination requirement that's being requested, as far as I understand the request.
Mr. President, may I say something?
Mr. Wilson.
It sounds like they're asking for our blessings.
In the mic.
Sound like Mater asking for our blessings on this. Is this correct?
If this motion didn't pass, it would not take away the district's requirement. It would just mean that perhaps we would have to rethink what we would tell the customer at the permit counter. We'd probably still tell them the same thing. They need to go to the district and get their application form filled out and pay the fee.
Puts them on notice, Sam. It helps the consumer that they didn't miss an agency that requirement.
Let's ask this a different way.
Yeah.
Let's say we don't approve this. It's still a requirement from your department.
Yes, sir.
Right? So let's say somebody comes in
and gets a building permit, and we haven't told them they've got to go to your place and get your permit. And somebody's riding down the road and sees construction going on, and they know there's no permit. What happens?
More than likely, the first course of action is we're going to stop at the site, speak to the folks there, do whatever we can to make sure that they get the appropriate permit coverage.
If you're told.
So it's mm-hmm. not going to be swing a hammer, hard enforcement. Mm-hmm. It's going to be just like it is mm-hmm. today mm-hmm. from the standpoint of you need permit coverage. Here's the value of that. This is why. Let's get you squared away. We're going to do whatever we can to bring someone into compliance. Okay. If we get someone who just completely ignores us, blows us off, et cetera, then we have the ability to refer those to DENREC for further enforcement. The district itself does not have enforcement right. authority. Mm. That all has to be administered through DENREC directly.
Right.
Mm. So we try to work with folks, bring them into compliance the best sure. we can, and that's what we'll do mm-hmm. until we just reach a breaking point. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But we're the clearinghouse for permits, and
yes, sir.
And we issue the building permit. So there's certain requirements before we can issue a permit, and this is now a new one. We didn't have anything. We didn't establish any fees. It'd be nice to make sure that the consumer understands it so they don't get shut down, because that would, you know, time is money, and to get shut down or whatever. Or,
right.
Who knows? I don't see it. I see it harmless. Something we're just cooperating with this agency to make sure that people are on notice.
Rich Lank.
No, David.
I know that you require a DLDOT permit, a fire marshal approval.
When you're getting into commercial.
Okay. Right. But things that you require down there now.
If, just for example.
I want to build a house.
If you came in to build a house, we're going to ask you for your septic permit
okay.
number and a copy of that permit.
Okay.
And we get that permit, and then we can issue the permit. And we're going to also advise you that you need an entrance permit, if you don't already have one, to make an improvement for your driveway to your house.
But we don't require them to have the permit.
And each of those permits have a fee associated with each of those permits?
There's a fee associated with the DENREC permit for yeah. the septic. And I use septic for example. If it's in a sewer district, we don't issue the building permit unless we know that they've gone upstairs and verified, paid their fees or whatever for their connection yep. to be able to get
more permit fees. Okay.
So it's all interrelated. It's another application form that needs to be addressed before they get a building permit.
Absolutely. Right.
That's it.
And as David said earlier, we do it. It's voluntary now. His department comes in, or we deliver, I forget which, comes in and picks up a stack of things that we may have accumulated over several weeks or a month. And then they go through them and see if there's issues that they need to address. This way, they're going to get up front. So they get the permit from the conservation district, then they come in and we get a permit. And our review process isn't over the counter technically. They've got to come in and submit plans to building code for building code review. Building code review could take 1 or 2, 3, 4 days. And in some cases it requires a flood review, which comes through my office, which could be another couple of days, but it's all interrelated. So this would be interrelated. So it could be done in a matter of a day or two. It would be done within that same time frame. It wouldn't be an add-on. If it's done properly, it wouldn't be an add-on.
Well, we could always say that the county pays the $100. Would that make you happier?
No. Let me continue yet again to reaffirm I'm not against what we're going through here. What I am concerned about is that my vote in supporting an $80,000 added fee to our residents without public comment. That's it. That's the end of that's where I'm coming from. I'm not saying I'm against it. But there is a motion that's been presented, and we're asking for a vote, which is going to be, i.e., that we are supportive of $100 per fee per application form, to the tune of $80,000, and I'm
the county to pay it.
You didn't hear what I just said, Councilwoman.
Let's let whoever has the floor speak.
All right,
please.
What's important to me? What's important to me is the voice of the people, and if I'm voting on a fee. Or the process to be supportive of a fee, I'd like to hear the public input. Very simple. I'm not against it. It's the process.
It's just important for me to hear from the people as it relates to the fee, if they're looking for our support and my vote on that. End of story. There is a motion. The vote will be taken.
No, I'm fine. It's just, even if we heard something we didn't like, we can't change the fee. We can't have any impact on the fee. So to have a public hearing on the fee makes no sense at all. I think we need to vote on it. It's a state fee. It's a state regulation. We're just trying to make things work better. We're like a clearinghouse when all these agencies get together before, like Mr. Lang said, we get a permit. And that's all this is. I know it's easy maybe to try to make it sound like it's something it's not, but I don't see the impact that you're concerned about. So look, I would say we move ahead with a vote and see where it ends up.
Do you think, Mr. Lang, this will be a benefit to the public?
Oh my God.
It will be a benefit to the individual to get what they need up front.
Yeah. Right.
Rather than, as Dave said, if they just get a stack of permits and they go out and investigate and find they haven't gotten a permit and they need a permit, they're going to be cited or warned or whatever to get it done. It might fill that on the spot. But at least they filled it out. This way it's up front.
Yeah.
And they have to be fortunate for the built permit. They know they have everything they need to be able to proceed with all the agencies.
And this was passed by your board?
Yes, sir.
Was it like a split decision thing, like 5-4?
It was a 6-0 vote.
6-0 vote.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And it was advertised.
And it was advertised.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mr. Wilson, you have a question?
I was going to ask Mr. Lane. You said first there's no charge to individual homes, non-commercial?
No, it could be any. If it's a commercial, it's going to be a detailed plan, which they're already doing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Something.
This is a standard plan for residential construction.
Wonderful.
So you're already telling us we're going to charge an extra $100 for the non-commercial homes.
The standard plan relates to a residence. Could be a pole building on a residential lot. It's not a commercial. They do a whole different set of reviews for commercial industrial uses, which is used to be called detailed.
They're standard and detailed plans for all
depends on size, all ratings and size.
May I ask a question? Do I understand that you have the right to do this, I believe, under the law, sir? And all you're asking, I believe, is that we make sure it gets done, because we could possibly give all our permits and just forget about it, to tell people to go to the website and do it. I think that's what you're asking, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Any more questions and comments from council?
Would I have to come get a permit from you guys, from Soil Conservation, put up a pole barn?
Put up a pole barn?
Yes, sir.
If there was over 5,000 square feet of disturbance.
If there is?
If there is. But everything under 5,000 square feet is still exempt. So if your limit of disturbance is under 5,000
square feet. So if we put up a house under 5,000 feet, we won't have to pay that, right? The $100 would be exempt.
It's the house.
But it's the whole area of disturbance, so...
Driveway, septic, house, right. It all goes into the calculation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's been how many years?
Right, and that interpretation has not changed.
Been that way for years.
Just one more question.
Yes, sir.
I apologize.
Charlotte, no, you're fine.
I do apologize, and I apologize as well.
I understand the point you're
making. So currently, Mr. Link, obviously we have DENREC, we have DELDOT, we have state agencies.
For different types of requirements for different type applications.
Okay. So as it relates to the conservation district specifically, are there times whereas sometimes the applicant is not required? You just mentioned that under 5,000, they're exempt. So in those cases, that's not going to be a requirement for them to fill out this form and i.e. proceed accordingly. Is that a correct statement?
That's correct.
Okay. So and if we vote no, whereas we're not quote unquote requiring this as being part of our process in your department.
We're just saying what David is asking for is that the county cooperate in making sure the applicants that get building permits have the information they need from the different agencies up front before they get a permit.
Councilwoman, it's very difficult to listen to two people at one time. I apologize, but I'm trying to be attentive to Mr. Link and his answer, and it's very difficult to over. Perhaps it is like a debate, but
that's
this is not a debate.
Yes, that's
this is an opportunity to.
You could be right.
We're going to talk one person at a time.
Well, he's addressing me.
Are you understood, Mr. Deaver? Mr. Kohler stands up. Mr. Wilson, one person at a time.
And he has
Mr. Arlett now has the floor.
Thank you, sir. Could you please continue so I can be certain I fully understand yet again the process, please, one more time?
I don't even remember where I was, been told.
Just start over. From the beginning.
The intent is that the person, before they get a building permit, has the appropriate agency permits they need to be for to get the actual permit. And I said, septic's an issue. We have to have septic proof. This, according to David's regulation, is now an issue. It's a requirement. So it needs to be addressed. So, and a deldot is an issue that we get typically on the commercial industrial uses. We just advise that they need an entrance permit from deldot, you know, for their driveway, residence, location, or whatever.
But do not make that a requirement. We advise.
We don't have to have the entrance permit up front.
Okay. But at some point, they're going to need it.
But typically, we've already approved it. If it's a new lot, we've approved the entrance location through deldot. It's just a matter of them getting a permit. So it's not really an issue.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you.
Any more questions from council?
Mr. President.
Mr. Wilson.
I came here about a year ago to get a permit for my pole barn. Does this mean that I have to go from here to Soil Conservation and get a permit so I can give them $100 so I can build my pole barn?
If you're, David said, if you're disturbing over 5,000 square feet.
Well, my pole barn was over probably close to five. Well, it's like a house. They say, how much did you serve when you run around it?
Right, 5,000. Well, the 5,000 square foot would be the driveway.
That's a pretty small area, 5,000 feet, isn't it? So it's 43,580 feet and an acre. So you're cutting me back quite a bit. I'm not going to get much done.
Correct. And think about it. You're putting a lane in back to that old barn, too. So.
Yeah, I would say that's not probably fair to farmers.
All right. May I have the floor for a minute when he's done?
Yes, when he's done, you may. Yes, ma'am.
I'm done. She can have it. Hillary can have it.
I just want to say, you know, I've been in this position. We've had some terrible weather, some terrible flooding, and I have this conservation district has been wonderful. The service is wonderful. They're dependable. They answer right away when I contact them, and I can't thank you enough for the excellent service you have. It feels like I've got somebody on my side. Great job the whole time I've been here. Thank you.
I think we should vote, well, Mr. President.
Any more questions? We're getting ready to vote. Okay, we're going to take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
I am happy to vote yes, Mr. President.
Mr. Wilson.
No.
I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
You voted for that.
Thank you.
Thank you for your patience.
Thank you, Dave.
I might end on government.
Someday we just have so much fun, I'm telling you.
I thought we'd be done by
next.